Good morning, everyone. Today's daf in Tanis is daf Chavches. Thanks to Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf of Blanos Echanish, myself, Super Zolfman. We are on Chavches on the days, in the middle of the fourth parak. We're finishing up the fourth parak now, as we are beyond the midpoint. And we are in the middle of discussing the historical events that require fasting, both on Shavuot HaBetamos and on Tisha B'Av. The Gemara sidetracked the discussion for discussion on Ma'amados. Ma'amados was prominent in the Mishnayos in the fourth parak of Tanis, so therefore the Gemara took the opportunity to discuss the special tefillos that are said by the Ma'amados. We know nothing about the Ma'amados nowadays, being that this was done during the Beis HaMikdash when the Karban Tamid was in operation. So you had the Ma'amados, who were basically representatives of the Jewish people who had extra davening. They were designated based on a based on the shifts of the Kohanim, and so they had special tefillos in the cities, and we spoke at length in terms of the davenings that they had and the Kriyas HaTorah that they had, and they did Kriyas HaTorah for Shacharis, for Musaf, for Mincha, and for Ne'ilah. They fasted the week, but when we say fasted the week, as we learned the other day, not Sunday, not Friday, but Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And okay, that was a Ma'amados. And sometimes the extra tefillos and the Kriyas HaTorah of the Ma'amados were suspended. Suspended for what reason? So we went through a number of possible reasons why it's going to get suspended. Halo will knock out Shacharis, Karban Eitzim for the person, for the families who sponsored, donated wood to the Beis HaMikdash, it would knock off as well. And what is if you remember the Mishnah brought down a Machlokes Tanaim, when exactly these suspensions occurred for these events. As we learned yesterday, the first day of Teves, so for the city that was doing Ma'amados, so the first day of Teves, everything got knocked off. Why? Because the first day of Teves is Hallel, because it's Hanukkah, it's Rosh Chodesh, meaning that there's a Karban Musaf, and also it's one of the dates of the Karban Eitzim. So therefore, the first day of Teves is going to be a day where all the extra davenings in the Kriyas HaTorah, the Ma'amados get suspended. What about the first day of Nisan? That was the Gemara's question yesterday, and that's what we're in the middle of discussing. So if you take a look on Chavches Amud Beis, so we are in the middle of the Gemara's question about what about the first day of Nisan? First day of Nisan, what does that have? So it is one of the dates mentioned for the Karban Eitzim, and it's also Rosh Chodesh, which means that there's Karban Musaf, and there's Halal. So shouldn't we knock off all the extra tefillos for the Ma'amados? That was the Gemara's question yesterday, to which the Gemara said no, it doesn't. It doesn't knock off every one because it's not halal. Meaning we say halal on Rosh Chodesh, but halal on Rosh Chodesh is not halal. What do we mean by that? So let's see the Gemara inside. We find ourselves on Chav Chesem and Beis. We'll pick it up where we left off yesterday. We'll start off with the question. So the listening Ami Bechad Benisan, it's about 10 lines from the top of the Amud. So the Gemara says, so why not say the first day of Nisan also? So lo haya bo mamad, mimnishish bo halo v'karben musav v'karben eitzim. So you have the trifecta of halo, karben musav, and karben eitzim. So therefore, there should be no ma'amados in the first day of Nisan. Amarav is asamar, salilu d'breishach, lov d'araisa. The halo on Rosh Chodesh is not a din d'araisa. Meaning, as we pointed out yesterday, it's a little bit of an irony, but Hanukkah, which is a din d'rabbanan, so the halo that we say in Hanukkah has more significance than the halal that we say in Rosh Chodesh. Now, we practically know that so, meaning if you just take a look at halal on both, on Hanukkah we say a full halal, on Rosh Chodesh we only say what we call half halal, chati halal. It's not really half halal. We only cut out two paragraphs, but it's an abridged version of halal. And Rava makes this point over here, but the way Rava formulates it is that the halal that we say in Rosh Chodesh is not the Araisa. The Am Rav Yochanan, Mishum Rav Yoshim, Am Yosef, Shemon Asa, Yom Bishan Yachid, Vom Abem, Asa halal. There are 18 days over the course of the year where an individual finishes halal, the Elohein. And the 18 days are Shemona Simei Chag, so the 8 days of Sukkot, Shemona Simei Chanukah, the 8 days of Chanukah, that's already 16, Yom Tov Rishon Shel Pesach, Yom Tov Shel Atzeres. And the first day of Pesach and the first day of Shavuos. Okay, so that's 18, that's it. 18 days of the course of the year where we're Gomer to halal, where we finish halal. Okay. Now, in the diaspora, because we have Yom Tov Sheni Shel Galuyos, so therefore you can tack on an additional 3 more days. because it's not just one day of Shavuos, it's 2 days of Shavuos. It's not just 8 days of Sukkot, it's 9 days of Sukkot. And it's not one day of Pesach, it's 2 days of Pesach, meaning day one. So the Elohim Tishri Yimei Chag, Vishmar Yimei Chanuk, Vishmar Yimei Mershon Shal Pesach, Ubei Zim Nintov Mishal Ad Seres. Okay, and that's it. Meaning those are the days where we're quote-unquote Gomer as the Hallel, but we finish Allah. And in Rosh Chodesh, so there is no requirement to say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Okay, let's fill in the blanks. Why? Meaning what's the reason why we all limit ourselves to Hallel to this day? So you remember the Gemara in Erechin? Just a quick refresher on the Gemara in Erechin that we did some time ago. The Gemara in Erechin says that we say Hallel on a day which is one of two things. Either there's an ace, meaning it was just an open miracle that takes place, which is obviously Chanukah. Chanukah is a day where we had a Nes Galui, Nes Nigla, a revealed miracle, so therefore we're going to say Hallel on such days. The Gemara points out Purim would be a good day to say Hallel as well, but then the Gemara goes and gives a number of explanations of why it is that we don't say Hallel on Purim, and when we get to the Gemara Megillah, we're going to see those Gemaras again in terms of why we don't say Hallel on Purim, but Purim should be one a day in which we say Hallel. So either that, in other words, either it's a Nes Nigla, we're going to say Hallel, or what's the other option? The other option is it's a day where the Gemara gave three qualifiers. Number one, there is an Issur Melacha. Number two, there has to be a unique carbon being brought specific for that day. And number three, it has to be called in the Torah Moed. It has to be defined as a Moed. It's a special time mentioned in the Torah. So, obviously, Yom Tov qualifies. Meaning, let's take a look at Sukkot, for example. So, Sukkot qualifies. Sukkot is an Issur Melacha. There is a special carbon specific for that day, and obviously Sukkot is one of the Moados. It's one of the designated times mentioned in the Torah. So Sukkot is a qualifier. Now, not just the first day of Sukkot, but every day of Sukkot. Now, every day of Sukkot has a unique set of karbanos, and the answer to that is yes, that's correct. Meaning on day one of Sukkot, there are 13 parim. On day two, it's 12 parim. Now, granted, it's only a quantitative difference, but that's enough. Meaning every day of Sukkot has a different set of karbanos. Again, quantitatively it's different, but that's enough. So that's why all of Sukkot, now Chol HaMoed is an Issur Melacha? The answer is yes, there is an Issur Melacha. It's not as stringent as Yom Tov itself, but we'll learn together. We're going to see, we're going to get to Moed Katan shortly enough. So say momentarily. But shortly enough, we're going to get to Moed Katan. Yes, there's an Issur Melacha during Chol HaMoed as well. Good. So all 8 days of Sukkot qualifies. And again, here in the Gulf, it's 9 days. Just give me a moment. That's a good question. Okay, I'll get back to that. So that's, and the same thing could be said about Shavuos. And what about Pesach? So here's the story with Pesach. So it almost, all 7 days of Pesach almost qualifies for Hallel, but not. Why not? Because after the first day of Pesach, every day after the first day of Pesach, nothing changes. The karbanos that are offered on days 2 through 7 of Pesach are the same karbanos as they're offered on day one. So there is no change in terms of karbanos, and therefore, although it is a moed and there is an Issur Melacha, but the karban doesn't change, and that's why after day one, there's no requirement to say Hallel on the remaining days of Pesach. Okay? And, well, no, Shemini Atzeres is included, meaning that's the 8 days of Sukkot. Right? So that's 8 days of Sukkot, 8 days of Chanukah, 1 day of Shavuot, 1 day of Pesach, so that makes a total of 18. Okay, good. So that's the basics in terms of Hallel and days which we finish Hallel. Rosh Chodesh is not. Now, what's Rosh Chodesh not? So, right, interestingly enough, it is called the Moed, right? The Gemara acknowledges back in Erechin, Rosh Chodesh is referred to as a Moed, and it does have a Karban, but there's no Issur Melacha. Recently, we did do in Megillah, I'm sorry, in the third parak, we're going to see a Rashi that talks about a Minog of women not doing Melacha on Rosh Chodesh, but there's no Issur Melacha, there's no formal Issur Melacha on Rosh Chodesh, and therefore Rosh Chodesh doesn't qualify as a day in which we say Hallel. Okay, and so therefore, now let's fill in the next part of the story. So now we understand why it is that we only say Hallel on these days and not on Rosh Chodesh. And now we understand why the Gemara didn't use the first day of Nisan as an example where all three davenings on the Ma'amados, all four davenings on the Ma'amados get knocked out because the Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is not Hallel. So then, the obvious question, which this is the next part of the Gemara, so what are we doing saying Hallel on Rosh Chodesh? So the Gemara is going to give us this answer with a story. Rabbi Kulabavel, Chazina de Kakara, Hallel of Rosh Yarcha. So the Gemara tells us Rav went to Babel. Remember, Rav started off his life in Eretz Yisrael. He learned by Rebbe. He learned by Rebbe Chia. And he was with the Tanaim in Eretz Yisrael. And then, for reasons which I don't remember offhand, but he went to Babel. And he moved over to Babel. So now in Babel, so what does he do? So Chazina de Kakar Halula Bar Shircha. So the Menhagim in Babel. We're not exactly like the Menhagim in Eretz Yisrael. So there he's in Babel, and he's there for Rosh Chodesh, and they're saying Hallel. So Sabbath laughs the kinu. So he's thinking to himself, oh no, what are they doing? They don't know what they're doing, these Jews in Babel. So they're saying Hallel. So he's thinking to himself, like, in other words, he just got here, but I got to stop them. Like, you don't say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, what are they doing? But Kevin de Chazaka de Ka, Nidalge de Luge, Amish Mamina, Minagavasem Biadeham. But then he saw that they start skipping around in Hallel. Meaning that they were skipping paragraphs in Hallel. It's what we do in Rosh Chodesh. We say Hallel, but we skip paragraphs. So, what did Rav come to the conclusion? Oh, this isn't Hallel. It's a minug. They have a custom to say Prakim and Tehillim. Yes, there's a Prakim of Hallel, but it's a minug. Minug of a Sambia Dehim. And so Rav left it alone, meaning that was the minug in Babel. Couple points. Number one. So number one, I'll get to that in just a moment. So number one, clearly, in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh. Meaning clearly. Meaning this idea that we say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh is a minhag. And it obviously at the time was not a universal minhag. So in Eretz Yisrael, they didn't say Hallel on Rosh Chodesh, and Babel they did. And Rav Arad did that realization when, for his first Rosh Chodesh and Babel, he did something that he's never heard in his lifetime. Okay, so that's... So number one, it clearly was not a ubiquitous minhag. It was limited to Babel. Point number two, which is the big discussion that happens time and again, and we've hit this discussion a number of, or quite often recently, and that is, did they make a bracha? And it turns into a basic question of when you have a minhag, right? Not a mitzvah d'araisa, not a mitzvah d'rabbanan, but a minhag, so do you make a bracha on a minhag? So this is a major debate. So let's go over our principal positions. The Rambam says, no, you don't. You don't make a bracha on a minhag. It's a minhag. You don't make a bracha on a minhag. You make a bracha on a mitzvah d'araisa, mitzvah d'rabbanan, but you don't make a bracha on a minhag. The best proof, evidence for that, for the Rambam, is the Gemara that we did back in Sukkah. The Gemara back in Sukkah talked about the minhag of Arava, right, of taking the Arava on the seventh day of Sukkot, what we call Hoshana Rabba. So and the Gemara there says, is it a minhag or is it a mitzvah? And the Gemara says, and the difference would be, if it's a minhag, you don't make a bracha. You don't make a bracha on a minhag. So the Rambam over here, consistent, says, I don't make a bracha on Rosh Chodesh. It's not a mitzvah, it's a minhag, as the Gemara over here points out. So the Rambam says, you don't make a bracha. So the other principal position that's taken is the Balei HaTosfos, Rabbeinu Tam says, you do make a bracha. Interesting, one of Rabbeinu Tam's proofs actually comes from our Gemara over here, that they did in fact make a bracha. How's the proof work? So Rabbeinu Tam says, I'll tell you. He says, did you notice at what point in time did Rava realize that what they were doing was right and not wrong? Meaning Rav came to the shul in Babel, and they started saying Hallel. And he's thinking, oh my gosh, this is crazy. And then he realized, oh, this is not Hallel, it's Chasi Hallel. And at what point did he realize it? So he realized it when they started skipping paragraphs. Oh, so Rabbeinu Tam says, so what must have happened? Must be that they made a bracha. Because if they didn't make a bracha, so then Rav would have realized at the very beginning, oh, this is not Hallel, they're not making a bracha. So one of Rabbeinu Tam's proofs to the question of whether or not you make a bracha is this story right here. Rav, they must have made a bracha, otherwise Rav would have realized right away. You can argue, it's not a, you know, in other words, this is not an ironclad argument. You could say that Rav came into show late, although we wouldn't want to say that, but you can.
You noticed that they are observing a few things in the field that they didn't make, it wasn't in the system.
Right.
That's by yourself. Why didn't you do the bracha? You just could allow them to be.
Understood, but...
You know, like, even your ship, they use 5 out of 8.
Right, in other words, all right, correct. Maybe even without a bracha, he would have reacted. Okay, fine.
The only issue is that, you know, when men say full hello, they say more hello.
Right, correct.
In Detroit, hello.
if the rabbis used them even more now, though.
And maybe they made a different bracha. Okay, it could be. It could very well be. Anyway, so this is a major debate. It's a major discussion. Good. All comes from our Gemara over here. Let's move on because we have a lot to do today. Tana, we learned in the Braisa, Yachlo Yatzko v'Yimizchol Gomer. An individual should not start, but if he starts v'Yimizchol Gomer, so then he should finish. Okay. And now we are going to go through the dates. Okay. Over the course of the remainder of the balance of today's daf, even though I know we haven't officially started today's daf yet, but in the terms of the balance of today's daf, basically what we're going to do is we're going to create a lot of timelines and establish a lot of dates in terms of how we know this occurred on this particular date. There really are two dates that we're going to be focusing on, the 17th day of Tammuz and the 9th day of Av, because, quite frankly, those are the dates that are mentioned back in the Mishnah, meaning the 10th day of Teves and the 3rd day of Tishrei, although they are Samos, they're obviously two of the Dalet Samos, the two of the four fast days that are done in commemoration of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, but there weren't multiple events that occurred on those dates, and so therefore they do not get a lot of discussion. They don't get any discussion in our Mishnayos and in our Gemara. Because Shivas of Tammuz and Tisha B'Av, there are multiple events that occur on those dates, so consequently get a lot of discussion. So we are going to start off now with the 17th day of Tammuz. So the Mishnah told us that there were five events that occurred on the 17th day of Tammuz, obviously historically in different years, but five events, and we're going to go now in chronological order starting from the beginning. So Nishab Aluchas Minalan. So we said that the Luchos were broken by Moshe Rabbeinu. So how does that occur on the 17th day of Tammuz? So the Tanya of the Gemara here quotes a Braisa. The Shishalachoshinoasarasadibrasliestra. So first the Torah was given. What date was the Torah given? Debate. Machlokit between the Tanakam and Rav Yossi, whether it was the 6th or 7th day of Sivan. The Shivaba. Mandama b'shisha nitna b'shisha nitna uv'shiva ala Moshe. Now, if the Gemara over here is going to create a point of agreement, meaning although we disagree in terms of when the Torah was given, whether it was 6th or 7th day of Sivan, but here they're going to agree that Moshe was sent up to Har Sinai was on the 7th day. So if you're of the position that the Torah was given on day 6, so when we say Torah was given on day 6, you understand that really we're talking about revelation, meaning right, that was Mamad Har Sinai. So if it was on day 6, so that means then that Moshe went up on the next day, on day 7. And Mandam b'shiva b'shiva nino b'shiva Allah. And if you say that that Mamad Har Sinai was on day 7, so on that very same day, Moshe went up to Har Sinai. Okay, Allah Moshe d'chziv, v'yikra Hashem Moshe b'yam ha'shvihi. And the Gemara quotes a pasuk from the end of Parshas Mishpatim that says that he went up on day 7. Although you remember back in the Gemara in Yuma, we gave a different explanation of this pasuk, another possible explanation. But right now, for our purposes, let's just go with the Gemara we have right here. And that is that the assumption over here is that the day 7 mentioned in the pasuk, in the end of Parshas Mishpatim, is referring to the 7th day of Sivan. Uksiva Yavro Moshe B'soch Anan V'yal Al-Har V'yi Moshe Bahar Arba'im Yom V'Arba'im Laila. And so now to create the timeline, so we know that Moshe was there for 40 days and 40 nights. So V'Arba'im Laila. So now, just again, you could make a calendar. So we know that he went up on the 7th day of Sivan. Esam V'Arba to Sivan. So now that's going to leave us 24 days left in Sivan. The Shitzah the Tammuz. 16 days in Tammuz, so Maluhu Arba'im. So that gets us to the 40 days that Moshe was up on Har Sinai. And he was up there for 40 full days. So that means that what day does he come down? The next day, which is the 17th day of Tammuz. The Shivs of the Tammuz Nachis, Asav Tavim, Luchos. He comes down and he breaks the Luchos. Viksiv, Vayika Shekarava, Machaneh, Vayar, Sa'idav, Vayishlach, Miyadav, Luchos, Vayashber, Osam, Tachas, Ahar. Okay, so that's how we know that Shvirat HaLuchos, the breaking of the Luchos, occurred on the 17th day of Tammuz. Batel HaTamid. The Mishnah says that the next event that's discussed in our in terms of what occurred on the 17th day of Tammuz is that the Tamid stopping brought. The Tamid, the carbon Tamid, the daily offering in the base of Mikdash, once in the morning, once in the afternoon. We have Shacharis and Mincha nowadays that correspond to the Tamid Shal Shachar and the Tamid Shal Bein Arbayim. So it's stopping brought. Now, truth of the matter is that the Mishnah gives us no more information. The Mishnah just simply says that at one point historically it stopped. Now, it's unclear, and as we pointed out back in the Mishnah, the Mefarshim struggle in terms of identifying when exactly this was historically, and the Gemara doesn't add much to the discussion other than just simply one word, which is batalatamid Gemara. The Gemara just simply says Gemara. What does the Gemara mean by that? Tradition, meaning there is no source. I don't have a reis. I don't have a pasuk in Chumash or in Tanakh. I have nothing that speaks to this idea that the Talmud was stopped being brought, but if we're going to attach a date to it, it's going to be the 17th day of Tammuz. Simply, that's just a tradition that we have. Hufkaya b'yid zayin, hava. Now, what the next thing the Mishnah talked about is the breaching of the wall. The breaching of the wall occurs on the 17th day of Tammuz. The problem is, it's not the 17th day of Tammuz. And how do I know that? The Gemara here points out, Pasuk in Yirmiyahu, the Chodesh HaRevi, in the fourth month, B'tisha L'Chodesh, on the ninth of the month. Fourth month is Tammuz. All months are counted from Nisan, Nisan being month number one. So the fourth month is Tammuz. So B'tisha L'Chodesh, on the ninth day of Tammuz, V'yechazak HaRav, V'yiruk, Sivasev, V'huvka, sorry, V'tibaka here. So the Pasuk, the Pesukim in Yirmiyahu tell us, give us a date, and the date is the ninth day of Tammuz, not the 17th day of Tammuz. So the Gemara says is that in both Batei Mikdash there was a breaching of the wall, and the dates were slightly shifted. In the first Batei Mikdash, the breaching of the wall by Nebuchadnezzar was on the ninth day of Tammuz, and then for the second Batei Mikdash, obviously there's no going to have to be Pesukim in Tanakh. Tanakh basically takes us up to and including the building of the second Batei Mikdash, but that's it. After that, there's no more. There's no more Sifrei Tanakh that describes, but we have history, and history tells us that it was for the second Beis Hamikdash. We have the 17th day of Tammuz. So Amar Rav Lokash Kam Bishon Kam Bishnei. I did tell you Bishon of Kaiyir B'Tishah B'Tammuz B'Shnei B'Shivah Sabov. So on the first Beis Hamikdash, so the breaching took place on day 9, and the second Beis Hamikdash, the breaching of the wall for Yerushalayim, the Beis Hamikdash takes place on day 17 of Tammuz. And as probably everyone here figured out, the one we observe, so meaning there really are two dates in Tammuz, the 9th and the 17th. The one that we observe is for Bayis Sheni because we're still in the aftermath of Churban Bayis Sheni. So therefore, we observe the 17th day of Tammuz, not the 9th day of Tammuz. Sarav apostamos es haTorah. Now, apostamos, again, not. I don't have much clarity in terms of historically when he was. Sounds just by the name alone, just sounds like one of the Greek generals. So he burned the Torah, and it was on the 17th day of Tammuz. And to that, the Gemara doesn't have psukim that indicates this. Gemara, again, it comes to a tradition. And a heichal was placed in the Beis Hamikdash. And this occurred on the 17th day of Tammuz. So the Gemara quotes psukim in Daniel that speak to this. So Daniel speaking, now when you don't know with a Navi whether he's giving a historical accounting or he's giving a something in the future. He's retelling something that will happen. But either way, it is described in the Pasuk in Daniel that on the day that the Talmud stopped, so it was replaced with a Selim, with an idol in the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Chadhav of the Gemara points out, there was more than one. There were two, actually. And again, we go back to say for Daniel, the Akanaf Shikutsim Mishomam. So there wasn't Sheket, there were Shikutsim, two idols. The Tavri Leilu Yadei. So the Gemara over here gives us a Divrei Agadata regarding the two Tzlamim that were in the Beis HaMikdash. One fell on the other. One Tzlam fell on the other Tzlam and broke off his hand. The Shakech Tavik Siv. And on it says, "Ant savis lecharuve beisei yadcha ishalimte le." You want to destroy the Beis Hamikdash, therefore I have taken your hand. I've cut off your hand. Take a look at Tosfos on the bottom of Chaf Ches Amud Beis, where he writes, "What's going on over here? How do we understand this dialogue?" So if you take a look at Tosfos, gives two pshatim. We're going to look at together at the second Shan Tosos, V'yesh Mefarshim, Yehatsiva Hava Al Hatzalim HaShalem. That over here, this tziva, this quote that the Gemara is quoting, was a quote on the, in other words, there are two tzlamim that we're describing. One fell on the other and broke the hand of the other. And this quote is on the Tzelem HaShalem, on the one that was still intact. The Hachikamra Ashkechei Aleha Beisei Klamra. Ata Ratzisa La'acharev Beisei Shalakash Baruch Hu. You want to destroy the Beis HaMikdash, meaning by having the Jewish people, right, obviously this is a, right, this is the imagery over here, but you want to destroy the Jewish people, meaning by having the Jewish people be over the Avodah Zarah, you want to destroy the Yadchai Shalamta Le'ilahach Shalamti Yetzadcha La'akash Baruch Hu She'chatachti. And I cut off your hand, meaning as a response to that. Okay, that's the description of the Tzelem. Now, Tzelemim mentioned that was placed in the Beis HaMikdash on the 17th day of Tammuz, but again, acknowledging that I don't really know historically when this occurred. But Tisha B'Av Nigzal Abathina Shalei Kansu La'aretz. Okay, now we move to Tisha B'Av. So again, we're looking at five historical events that occurred on Tisha B'Av. So number one, Gzeira, the decree for the Jews that they're not going to go into Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, we're talking now the Jews in the Midbar. After the Meraglim come back, Meraglim give a very poor report of Eretz Yisrael. And so the Jews says, okay, we're not going to go to Eretz Yisrael. And as they cried the whole night, and the Kosh Baruch Hu said, well, I mean, we're going to see the Gemara inside. Let's actually see the Gemara inside. Okay, so again, the Gemara is going to provide for us now a timeline in terms of how we know that the event of the Meraglim coming back occurred on the ninth day of Av. So we start off with in the first month of the second year, on the first day of the month, meaning with day one of Nisan, year two in the Midbar. So who came on Mishkan? So this is almost a full year later after they left Egypt. Almost a full year minus 15 days, right? They left on the 15th day of Nisan in year one, and so now you turn, you go to the next year. On day one of Nisan in year two, so the Mishkan was set up. Ba'am Amar Shana B'Shana Asa Moshe Esa Mishkan, Shnia Heikim Moshe Esa Mishkan. So HaKamas HaMishkan occurs in the second year. B'Shalach Meraglim, and it's in that second year that he sent the spies. Uksiv Ayi B'Shana HaShenit B'Chodesh HaShenit B'Esrim B'Chodesh Na'aleh Ha'anan. Now, when do they actually move from Har Sinai? So it was in the Shana HaShenit, in the second year, on the second month, on the 20th day of the month, Na'aleh Ha'anan, the cloud lifted up, which is our sign that, okay, we're going to start marching. Me'al HaMishkan Eidos, Uksiv And so now we are moving away from Har Hashem, meaning that is the time that we move away from Har Sinai, and we are now headed, and we're traveling for 3 days. So we're on the 20th day of Iyar, right, the second month, and we now travel for 3 days. Okay, it's on that day that they were Sarim Yachar Hashem, they leave God, they depart God. Okay, and take a look at Rashi over here, where Rashi talks about the idea that we are rushing to leave Har Sinai. Okay, but the Vasasifa Shebekirbo Tavutava, Vayishvuva Yitku Gam Bnei Yisrael V'Uksiv Ad Chodesh Yamim. And then after that, Hitavutava, we had a desire for meat, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu satisfied a desire, and it wasn't good, and it wasn't positive. And we ate Ad Chodesh Yamim, we ate for a month. Now a month, right, a little bit ambiguous in terms of what a month is. It could be either 29 days or 30 days. The Gemara's understanding over here, it's 29 days. The Havalu Asher Matartan. So, I'm sorry. The Havalu Asher Matartan B'Sivan. So we are now up to the 22nd day of Sivan. So in other words, again, you could print out a calendar and just do the numbers on the calendar. But after leaving Har Sinai, we leave this Har Sinai on the 20th day of the year. 3 days of travel, another 29 days of getting meat, and then after that, Miriam is sequestered for 7 days. Miriam Shivas Amen. We're now up to the 29th day of Sivan. Upsiv Shalach Lachan Hashem. Shalach Moshe Meraglim. Moshe sent spies on the 29th day of Sivan. Upsiv Yishuvah Mitor Arutz Miketar Bam Yom, and they toured the land of Israel for 40 days. So Hanei Bam Yom Nechi Chad Havu. So the Gemara says, okay, and if you take now, again, if you're still holding your calendar up, and you take now another 40 days from the 29th day of Sivan, so it comes out now that that they are coming back on the ninth day of Av. The Gemara, however, points out it's not the ninth day of Av. Actually, it should be the tenth day of Av. So Amar Abaye, Tammuz Ahushasa Mayama Magula. So the Gemara says normally Tammuz is a deficient month, meaning it's 29 days, not 30. And that year, Tammuz was a full month. So that means Tammuz is a full month, so that now takes another day of the 40. So now, again, you're holding the calendar, so you'll see that they're coming back not on the 10th day of Av, but they're coming back on the 9th day of Av.
Back in those days, the month wasn't set.
Right. In other words, correct. Meaning,
how could anybody know for sure?
I mean, again, you had Moshe, you had Aaron, so they were...
I'm talking about Amorim, but, 600...
The Gemara has a tradition. In fact, the Gemara is about to quote a pasuk. Yechsiv, Karai Lai Moe, Lishpor Bachurai. Okay, so Karai Lai Moe, Moe is a reference to Rosh Chodesh. So in other words, on that year, Tammuz was declared to be a full month, not a deficient month. It's Malin Achaser, and so therefore that adds another day into the 40, which means then that they came back on the ninth day of Av. And the nation cried that night. Amar Rava, Amar Rav Yochanan, Tisha B'Av Haya. And the Gemara quotes that was Tisha B'Av. Amar Lahem Akharis Baruch Atem B'Chid Mechir Shachinam. You cried for no reason, meaning, I told you going to the land of Israel. Okay, I know we sent the spies. Whose idea was it? You look at the Mefarshim in the beginning of Parsha Shlach. You'll see a Rashi, you'll see a Ramban. Anyway, but you sent the spies. Spies came back, didn't give a good report. And now you guys are crying. So, you have no reason to cry. I'll give you reason to cry. And so therefore, the ninth day of Av is going to be encoded for Bechia L'Doros. Okay, so that's the period, that's the end of the establishment, that the Meraglim come back, report, and we cry the night of the ninth day of Av. Now what we're going to do is we're going to establish that the first base of Mikdash was destroyed on the ninth day of Av. The problem is the Pesukim are not that particularly clear. That was the ninth day of Av. One pasuk the Gemara quotes at the end of Malachim Beis is that it was the Shiva Lachodesh. In the fifth month, which is Av, on the seventh day of the month. So the pasuk of Malachim describes the first Beis HaMikdash being destroyed on day seven of Av, in the 19th year of Malach Nebuchadnezzar. Abba Nebuzaradan, Rav Tabachim, Abad Melech Bavel Yushan Bishrof, it's Beis Hashem. Uksiv, and now we look at a parallel pasuk in Yirmiyahu, Ubechodesh Chamishi, Be'asur Lechodesh, Hishnas Chas Reishan Lamech Nebuchadnezzar Melech Bavel, Ban Nebuzaradim Rab Tabachim Amal Lefne Melech Bavel B'Yushalayim. So we have in Yirmiyahu the 10th day of Av being described. Vitanya. And now on this we have a brisa. So it's just a basic stira between Pesukim and Malachim and Pesukim and Yirmiyahu. Iyav shalom ha-bishiva sharei kvai nema b'asur, v'yav shalom ha-bishiva sharei kvai nema b'shiva. So we have conflicting reports in terms of when the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Ha-ketzah b'shiva nechmesu nachrim la'echa v'achlu v'kil kolubo shvi'i, shmini, uchi'i. So the Gemara here is describing is basically, it's not a steer, it's not a contradiction, it's just simply a process. They came into the Beis HaMikdash on day seven, and the Gemara's description over there as they came in is that they went into the Heichal, they ate, they defiled it, and that was day seven, day eight, and day nine, basically 3 days of helping themselves to the Beis HaMikdash. And then on the ninth day, as it gets close to dark, meaning as we're turning to the tenth day of Av, they start lighting the fire. And then the fire lit for the entire tenth day of Av. And Rav Yochanan makes a statement, an interesting statement. I'm sure everyone here has heard this at one point or another. If I were there in that generation, said Rabbi Yochanan, lo kav asiv ela ba'asiri. So I would have said that it shouldn't be Tisha B'Av, it should be Yud B'Av, the Asar B'Av, the Nesher Ruba Shalech Nisraf, because that was the day in which the Beis HaMikdash actually burnt. meaning they lit the fire on the ninth day of Av, but the actual burning itself occurred on the tenth day of Av. And Rav Yochanan says, if I were there, I would have established it to be the tenth day of Av. Now, quite frankly, I don't know what Rav Yochanan's doing here, meaning it's a hard statement to understand, meaning he's challenging when the Chachamim established Tisha B'Av to be. I mean, he lived hundreds of years later. So, and furthermore, just it's difficult to understand because we know that Tisha B'Av was encoded to be the date. So, right, it goes all the way back to the Meraglim. And I'm sure Rav Yochanan, I'm assuming that Rav Yochanan is not challenging that the Meraglim come back on the ninth day of Av. So why then was he... okay, it's hard. It's difficult to understand what Rav Yochanan is doing over here, but he says he would have made it the tenth day of Av. V'Rabbanan, and now the Gemara says, and what did the Chachamim feel? Obviously, they didn't. They made it the ninth day of Av. Atchalta de Puranasa Adifa, because, yeah, you're right, the burning itself took place on the tenth day of Av, but they're looking at the Atchalata de Puranasa, the beginning of the calamity. The beginning of the tragedy means the burning started on the ninth day of Av. Ninth day of Av is set as the date. Uvishni Aminalan, how do I know that the second base of Midrash was destroyed on Tisha B'Av? Titania. Because good things happen on good days and bad things happen on bad days. Amr Kishachar Beis HaMikdash B'Rishon, also a Yom Erev Tisha B'Av. Yom. When the base of Midrash was destroyed, the first base of Midrash, so that day was Erev Tisha B'Av. Umotse Shabbos Hayam. It was Motzei Shabbos, meaning a Sunday. Motzei Shviyat Aisa. It was the year after Shemitah, meaning the first year in the Shemitah cycle. Umishmato Shal Yoho Yariv Aisa. And it was the Mishmeret of Yoho Yariv. You remember we just described Yoho Yariv a couple of days ago in the Daf. He was the first Mishmar. And if you remember, Yoho Yariv was the first Mishmar. So that means in the 24 Mishmaros, he was number one of the series. And then for Vayishen, we just discussed this the other day, he didn't come back into Eretz Yisrael together with the other Kohanim, his Mishmar, so he was demoted, meaning the Adiah got number one, and then if and when he comes back, he'll get a shift, but it won't be the first shift. But either way, Yoho Yariv's shift was when the first base of Mikdash was destroyed. The Levim ayu omim shira, v'omdim al duchnam, and the Levim were saying shira. So now, it's interesting because we know, the Gemara just told us, that the date in which the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was Tisha B'Av, that we knew already, and it was a Sunday, and it was the year after Shemitah, and Yoho Yariv's Mishmar, and they were singing Shira. Now, if it's Sunday, so what Shira should they be singing? So right, so we know the Shiras. So watch what Shira they're singing. Umashira Yo'omra V'yashav Alehem Esonam V'rasam Yatzmi Sein. Okay, that's the 94th Perek of Tehillim, but notably, which day of the week do we say that Tehillim? That's not a shir for Sunday. That's a shira for Wednesday. Okay, I'll come back to that point in just a moment. We'll always speak Olam Rayat Misem Hashem Elokeinu Ashavar Nachrim V'Kavshim. Kadosh Baruch Hu, please take vengeance on the Goyim. And meanwhile, as they were saying it, as the words were coming out of their mouth, so they were conquered. The city of Yerushalayim and the Beit HaMikdash was destroyed. Okay, now the obvious question, which we're going to deal with now, is what are they doing? Why are they doing Wednesday Shira on Sunday? Rashi and Tosfos are both bothered by this very question. They both basically say the same thing. You take a look at Rashi. Rashi Vayishem Alayim Asanam Brasam Yatzmisim Yatzmisim Hashem Lakinim Mizmor Tel Nekamos Hashem. So that is the Mizmor of Tehillim of Tel Nekamos. Ushir Shal Yom Revi. So that's Wednesday Shira. V'hai the Amri Levi Yom Rishon. And so what are they doing singing it on Sunday? Ayla Ba'almahu. So Rashi says that is an Eli. So what does the word Eli mean? Kina. It's a lamentation. Denafo B'pumai K'damina Be'erchin. Perish Ayla Kina. Rashi says that the word Ayla is a Kina. It's a lament. Shekin Targum Yonos Amin Ezeel. Sakina Tol Ayla. So it's the Aramaic word for Kina. Kina, the Targum on Yecheskel tells us that the word Kina translates in Aramaic as Ayla. Kamo Eli Kibsua Chagura Sak. And interestingly enough, in Eicha, which we'll see in 3 short weeks from now, so you'll see the word Eli being mentioned in Sefer Eicha. It's interesting because the Gemara just says it's an Aramaic word and it made it into Eicha, but fine. That happened. Okay, so the anyway, so the so the so they were saying was the Shira, but not as a Shira, but as a Kina. Okay, that was it was a lament. Okay, back to the Gemara. Okay, so that was all on the first Beis Hamikdash. And now, sorry, V'chein, here we go. Asher v'chashem. V'chein v'shniya. And the Gemara says, and everything, that every detail that we just went over, meaning Sunday, the Motzei Shabbos, Motzei Shviyas, the Mishmar of Yehoyarib, all that also occurred for the second Beis Hamikdash as well. And the assumption is, ninth day of Av, that it occurred as well. Okay, those are, so far we've discussed now three of the dates of Tisha B'Av, the Meraglim, Vaisrishon, Vaisheni. Milkadav Beitar. Now we're up to the destruction of the city of Beitar. This was our campaign against the Romans after Chorban Vaisheni. Second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed approximately 70 of the year 70, the Common Era. And then about 60 years later, about 132, 135, so we make a stand against the Romans, led by Bar Kokhba, led by Rabbi Akiva, and it was unsuccessful. And they destroyed us in the city of Beitar. And that occurred on the ninth day of Av, and the Gemara says, and in terms of how we know that Gemara, the Gemara says that's a tradition. Necher Shahir Tanya Kishacharav, Tonus Rufus Arasha Sa'echal. When Turnus Rufus destroyed the Heichal, Nigzor Gzera al Rabbi Gamliel leHariga. So they made a Gzera on Rabbi Gamliel. The Rabbi Gamliel should be killed. This is obviously we're talking about the destruction of the second Beis Hamikdash. So Baal Don Echad v'Amad beBeis Hamikdash v'Amad Balachotem mitbakesh Balachotem mitbakesh. So the Gemara here describes that someone runs into the Beis Hamikdash and says that the Baal HaChotem, the owner of the nose. So that is a description of Rabbi Gamliel. Now, why is he referred to as a Baal HaChotem, the owner of the nose? So take a look at Rashi. Rashi writes, Baal Koma V'tzura. So he was an outstanding individual. He was tall, and he had a tzura, he had an appearance to him. Lishna Achrin Rashi says, Gadol Hador, or he could also be being described as just simply the leader of the generation. Right? He's out in the front. He's the leader of the generation. Anyway, the Romans won Rabbi Gamliel. Shama Rabbi Gamliel Azatasha Minayu. So Rabbi Gamliel hears, and he goes into hiding. Azalagabe Bitsina. So the Gemara here describes that there was a some minister, who goes to Rabbi Gamliel privately. Amalei imasinalach maisisla amadasi. So apparently, again, it's not totally clear, but apparently this was some sort of Roman officer who was sent to go fetch Rabbi Gamliel, and he says to Rabbi Gamliel privately in a private discussion, look, I'll save you. If I save you, will you take me to Olam Haba? Amalei Ein, Rabbi Gamliel says yes. Amalei Shabalei, Ishabalei. And with a promise, Salik Le'igra Nafal Umis. So this Roman officer who was sent to go collect Rabbi Gamliel went to the top of the roof, he falls down, and he dies. He kills himself. And the Gemir de Chigazri Gezerta Omis Chan Minayo Mevat Le Gezerta. And the Romans operate with the following rule. It was a superstition, however you want to describe it. But basically, if they make a Gezerah and one of them dies in the course of this Gezerah, Batal HaGezerah. So because this officer died in his mission to go get Rabbi Gamliel, so therefore the Romans said, okay, we're aborting the mission. We're no longer just in Rami Gamliel. Yes, the Baskel of Amra, Adon Zem Zuman L'Chayel Amaba. And out comes the Baskel and says that this Roman officer, is going to receive a fortune in the world to come, as Rami Gamliel promised. Tan Rabbanu Mishchar V'Avayis V'Yishon and Niskap Tu Kisus Kisus Shafir Chekehuna Omaf Tekol Sehecha B'Yadan. When the Beis HaMikdash was being destroyed. So the young Kohanim had the keys of the Hechel in their hands. V'Alu L'Gag HaHechel. And they went to the roof of the Eichel V'Am L'Fan Rebbeinu Shalom Holovelo Zachinu Yos Gizbarim Ne'emanim. So we are not good stewards of the Beis Hamikdash. You Maftechos Mesum Lach. We no longer are entitled to the keys. We're going to hand over the keys to you. V'Zarkum Kapei Malan. They threw the keys up to Shemayim. the yatzah came, pisas yad the key bal tam, and the hand comes down to collect the keys, mehem. The hem kaptsu v'nafsu l'socha or, and they throw themselves into the fire. V'alem konan Yishayahu anavi. And on that Yishayahu wails, masa gech yizayam alach efo ki alit ekulech l'gagos, shuos melea, ear, they go up to the rooftops, they didn't die in battle. The Kadosh Baruch Hu's reaction is that he wailed. He lamented over the death. And again, this is all in the context of death and destruction. Mishenichnas av nematin b'simcha. And we're back to the Mishnah. Right. But the only reason Rabbi Gamliel got to that point, in other words, you're right. The Gemara Gittin says that Rabbi Yochanan and Zakkai asked for Rabbi Gamliel Beis Dino. Right. Correct. But had it not been for this incident, there would be no Rabbi Gamliel. I mean, this. I'm speculating, but it seems reasonable. Mishnichnas av nematim b'simcha, when av comes in, so we diminish the amount of joy. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Berei, Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, Mishmei Rav Kishen, Mishnichnas av nematim b'simcha, kach Mishnichnas adar marbim b'simcha. So there are two contrasting months. The month of av, when we go into the month of av, we minimize the joy. When we go into the month of adar, we go the other way. We maximize our joy. I'm Rav Papa Hilkach, and Rav Papa says these are just not nice statements. They have halachic ramifications. Why you saw this way? Dina b'hadei nachri lishtamet minei ba'av, the rea mazlei, the limse nashe ba'adar dibarya mazlei. So the Gemara over here says, this is recorded in Shulchan Aruch, that if you have a court case, if you have any type of litigation, so you should try to avoid av, meaning don't go into litigation in av. It is rea mazlei. It's not of a good mazel. But meanwhile, what you should try to do is you should try to move it to the month of Adar, the barye mazle, it's a healthy mazel. The Gemara here quotes the pasuk from Yirmiyahu, l'asef lachem achris v'tikva, we will have a hope for the future. I'm Rabbi Yehuda Berei, Rav Shmuel Bar Shilas, Mishmei Rav, Elu Dekalem V'Kli Pishtan. And what is that? What is the pasuk in Yirmiyahu describing? The palm trees, I know we're in Florida, or the palm trees of Kli Pishtan and the linen clothing, meaning that even though we are exiled, and even though we live in Babel, but there's Dekel, there's Kli Pishtan, meaning it's not all lost. By Yomer Ra'areach B'ni K'reach Hasadeh Asher Baruch Hu Hashem. The Gemara of Yehuda Berei Derav Shmuel Bar Shilas Mishmei Derav. In other words, the Gemara here is going to quote another drasha from the same Baal Memra, even though ostensibly it has nothing to do with the previous, although maybe you can try to make a connection. But when Yitzchak gives the bracha to his son Yaakov, so he smells and it has a pleasant fragrance. What fragrance is that? Kerech sadeh shetafuchem. It smells like a orchard of what I would have translated as apples, but if you take a look at Tosfos over here, Tosfos says that the tapuchim is actually etrogim, right? The smell of etrogim. I know we can go into depth over here, but let's just for the time being. You know what? No. Let's stop over here. We'll start with the halacha tomorrow. Okay. Tomorrow, right? It's the timing of the Gemara and the timing of the year works out. In this case, they prefer obviously that it didn't. We didn't have a 3 weeks, but tomorrow we're going to start with the halacha really the Gemara focuses mostly on Shavuot Shekabo, on the week that Tisha B'Av falls out on. But okay, well, we'll talk more a little bit. We'll talk a little bit tomorrow. In terms of halach l'maisa, we have 2 more days to go in terms of the Masechta. Tomorrow we have Shabbos. Shabbos we finish the Masechta. We'll probably put something together for Shal Shudas in terms of Esiim. And then Sunday this coming week, we have a Masechta Megillah.